Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Harold Chesson. I'm a health economist in the Division of STD Prevention here at CDC in Atlanta. It's my pleasure to serve as the moderator for this debate. And the debate question, as you can see, is can alcohol taxes impact STD rates? So now go ahead and get out the app and do the pre-debate vote. I was told to give detailed instructions on how to do this, but it's the fourth debate by now. And if you don't know how to do it, I think you're an uninformed voter. And we probably don't need your opinion anyway. Sorry, it's just after seeing the other debates, I've had this mad desire to get up here and insult people. So. So I'll let you continue to do the voting while I do the introductions. On the yes side will be Dr. David Jernigan, and on the no side will be Dr. William Bill Miller. They both agreed that I didn't have to read their lengthy bios. You can go to the program for that. Before we do begin, and I do want to make one disclosure. I really love beer, so I wanted to make that clear before we move on. And when we were planning the conference planner said that for the debates, they want the content to be like a philosophical conversation, scholarly conversation, but they wanted the atmosphere to be like professional wrestling. So I thought it would be good if each one had a name. And David told us when he was in the UK, because his research is often viewed as anti-alcohol, he was given the name, introduced as Dr. Killjoy. So we'll let that be his name today. And his opponent will be Dr. Feelgood. So let's see the results. So 58% got it right. Sorry. I promised Bill that I would try to be impartial. So I didn't tell him how hard I would try, though. Okay.
It's not fair.
So.
Thank you. Thanks a lot for having me. I feel a little bit like a foreigner here, but I hope you'll treat foreigners more nicely than some of our presidential candidates do. I'm also a little worried that Vladimir Putin is messing with the voting, but we'll go forward anyway. So a little background on alcohol taxes. These are considered by the Centers for Disease Control as one of their high fives. One of the most effective and cost-effective non-clinical community-wide interventions likely to yield results in 5 years. Tom Baber and company reviewed the whole panoply of strategies for reducing alcohol problems for the World Health Organization, concluded alcohol taxes are among the most cost-effective ways for a government to reduce alcohol-related harm. A little background, from 1911 to 1917, just before Prohibition, alcohol taxes provided a third of U.S. tax revenues. When the government lost those taxes, they had to make up for it with a particularly unpopular tax. It's known as the income tax. So alcohol taxes came back after Prohibition. They were then 9% of federal revenues. They're currently 0.4%, and my friends in the federal government call that budget dust. We do have a rich literature of alcohol prices and drinking, lots and lots of studies, and the latest review of this estimated 10% price increase would reduce consumption in specific categories, overall consumption by 4.4%, heavy drinking, and generally larger effects on youth and young adults. This is what's happened to federal beer taxes, and in terms of real dollars, that blue line is what you want to pay attention to. They were last raised in 1991. They've lost 40% of their value since then. If you think there's no relationship between alcohol and sex, watch an alcohol ad. So here it is, Seduction in a Bottle, from that well-known health promotion journal Playboy. One bar got in a whole lot of trouble for this particular T-shirt. We're not responsible for lost or stolen virginity. Thank God they got in trouble. But you can see the association. What does the evidence say? Scott Sheldon et al. In 2016 did a systematic review and meta-analysis of the experimental studies, which are the ones where we can get closer to making some causal statements, concluded alcohol consumption directly affects sexual decision-making, i.e. intentions to engage in unprotected sex, and older, the Cook and Clark review in 2005. This was primarily observational and cohort studies, not quite as strong, but still supports an overall association from those earlier studies. In terms of the effects of alcohol taxes on risky sex, when Wagenaar et al. Did their huge review of the literature across public health in terms of the effects of alcohol taxes, they found four studies with 37 individual estimates of effect. They all showed an inverse association, most of them statistically significant. They estimated a doubling of alcohol taxes would lead to about a 6% drop in STDs. Grossman, Kessner, and Markowitz from the National Bureau of Economic Research, an earlier study, higher beer taxes were associated with lower rates of gonorrhea for males. These are just a couple. One that I was involved with, Illinois, did a big increase in their alcohol tax in 2009. We used as a counterfactual, starting with the 48 contiguous states, then dropped the Illinois, obviously, the 18 states that at that time had monopolies on some degree of alcohol distribution, 15 states with tax changes ended up with, and the two border states ended up with 12 states that served as the counterfactual, as the control. This is the net effect, really large sizes, even larger for blacks than for whites, 50% drop in gonorrhea rates for blacks ages 25 to 29, smaller effects for gonorrhea. Public health implications, well-established evidence that taxes reduce drinking, and it's well-established that taxes reduce all sorts of alcohol-related disease, traffic crashes, and so on. It is likely also an effective strategy to prevent STDs, including HIV, especially among blacks or populations with moderate incomes and higher than average disease or infection rates. Another study I was involved in Maryland, we passed a 3% sales tax increase on alcohol in 2011. Most of the tax research on alcohol is on excise taxes. Those are flat. They don't rise with inflation. Sales taxes are a different beast. Again, we used a multi-state comparison group. We found a 50% increase in the alcohol-specific sales tax led to about a 24% drop in gonorrhea rates, no change in chlamydia. We were criticized because Maryland alcohol consumption actually rose slightly in this period, but of course, we had the national data in there as a control. National alcohol consumption increased 100 times that of Maryland. And if you're wondering if the sales actually dropped, we did a subsequent study using county-level alcohol sales data 18 months before and after the tax increase, controlled for seasonality, county characteristics, national economic trends, and so on. We found the sales tax increase was associated with a 3.8% decline in total alcohol sold relative to what would have been expected. As for a causal chain, I can just show you this ad. I guess they had to name the vodka Kinky because some people are really slow. But higher prices lead to alcohol use, leads to less stupid sex, leads to fewer STIs. Thanks.
You can tell that Dr. Jernigan is not a STD person because he's wearing a tie. Just makes me uncomfortable to start with. So I'm going to try to assess this. Is this the effect of alcohol taxes on STDs? I'm going to address four key questions. What is the causal framework for alcohol taxes to affect STD rates? Is the effect of alcohol on STDs sufficiently strong that a change in taxes would have a meaningful impact on STD rates? What is the impact of alcohol taxes on alcohol consumption? And does a change at the group level necessarily mean a change at the individual level, otherwise known as the ecological fallacy? Basically, I'm going to try to address the question of whether chlamydia comes in a beer bottle. As Dr. Jernigan mentioned, this is basically the fundamental causal pathway through which alcohol taxes could affect STD acquisition. As alcohol taxes are increased, alcohol consumption declines, condomless sex declines, and STD acquisition in theory declines. But all of us who have done STD work recognize that the causal pathway is a bit more complex. This is adapted from the Bierma and Weir proximate determinants model for HIV, and you'll note that alcohol tax is just a little bit of blurb down here in the corner. I don't know what happened to the title there, but so does alcohol increase STDs? Well, clearly a relationship between alcohol consumption and STDs has been observed many times. But that the size of that effect is variable. And in terms of observational studies, I should say, stronger studies with better designs as cohort studies have often had weaker effects. You'll notice that I carefully left out the randomized trials in that. I'll also note that Dr. Cook was my office mate for a year back in 1995. But more germane is the in-the-moment alcohol, which is alcohol that's consumed within a few hours of having sex. In this study published in the esteemed journal STDs, adolescents aged 17 to 19 years of age in Illinois answered the question, how many alcoholic drinks did you have in the 2 hours before you had sex the last time? And they looked at four partner characteristics as outcomes: casual, unexpected, greater than 3 year age difference, and met in public. And clearly there seems to be an effect. But only 12% of the adolescents actually reported drinking alcohol in the moment before sex, implying that a very large number of kids don't need alcohol to have sex. What is the impact of alcohol taxes on alcohol consumption? Well, in this meta-analysis of 56 relevant econometric studies, the conclusion was, and I know it's hard to see, so I'll blow it up for you, increased alcohol taxes or prices are unlikely to be effective as a means to reduce binge drinking, regardless of gender or age group. Now, in full disclosure, this is a pretty bad study, but I had to put it up here anyway. So, what about the ecological fallacy? That's a bias that may occur because an association observed between variables on the aggregate level does not necessarily represent the association that exists at an individual level. An association at the group level may disappear at the individual level or even be reversed. So so I'm going to look at two natural experiments, the same ones that Dr. Jernigan mentioned a little bit ago, Illinois alcohol excise tax and the Maryland alcohol sales tax. I'm only going to briefly touch on the Maryland one. So if we think about the individual level, what are the possible individual level effects of an alcohol sales tax? First, people may drink less or abstain. Second, they may switch to a cheaper beverage of the same type, as in switching from one beer to a cheaper beer. They may switch to a different alcohol beverage, like they may switch from wine to beer because it's cheaper, or they may suck it up and pay the additional cost. If we think about the impact on risky sexual behavior, the first one possibly leads to less risky sex. The second one and the third are uncertain depending on how much alcohol they actually consume in the process. And the fourth one probably has minimal impact. If we look at this study, this is the same study that was mentioned a few minutes ago. This dramatic decline in gonorrhea was attributed to this alcohol excise tax. $1.18 per gallon, $0.73 per gallon for wine, and $4.50 for spirits. If you translate that to per drink, it's 2 pennies, more or less, for a beer, 3 pennies for wine, and 5 cents for spirits. I'm not quite convinced that that's sufficient to explain this dramatic decline. So maybe it was something else. What else happened in 2008 in Illinois? Oops, it didn't show up. Oh no. Well, I'll just have to tell you. What else happened? It did show up? Anyway, I'll just tell you. So what else happened? Well, Obama was elected president. He was from Illinois, and he left in 2008. Not to say that he was responsible, mind you, for this. But the other thing that happened in 2008 is that Illinois went from paper-based reporting to electronic reporting. And it was recognized that there was a significant drop-off in reports associated with that. And to the author's credit, they did address that in their paper, and they actually did a sensitivity analysis by removing Chicago and the surrounding area and showed a little diminution of the effect, but it didn't go away. But my point would be, I suspect that Chicago wasn't the only place that had trouble with that transition. Oops. Oh, I'm going the wrong way. That's what the problem is. There we go. Obama's elected president. Illinois changes from paper to blah, blah, blah. So finally, what happened in the Maryland paper? I'm not going to say anything about this Maryland paper except to read you the conclusion, and you can decide whether you believe it or not. An increase in alcohol retail costs of 3 cents per dollar appears to have decreased gonorrhea infections in Maryland. 3 cents per dollar. I'm pretty sure if you want to drink 3 cents per dollar when you really want to drink, ain't going to do it. Thank you.